You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected anywhere and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Navigate easily by powering apps like real-time GPS and voice assistant. Keep everyone entertained with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity roadblock your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required. This is the most dramatic podcast ever. An iHeartRadio podcast. If you have listened to this podcast at all, you know that we deal with a lot of health-related topics because it is obviously something to do with our relationships, not only our external relationships, but just the relationship with ourself and our body and taking care of ourselves. One of the big topics that we have covered is intermittent fasting. You know, there are diet fads that we talk about all the time. We've gotten into even what's going on with Ozempic and Mounjaro and all this stuff. But intermittent fasting has been kind of above reproach. It's not even considered a fad by many. It's just been this kind of steadfast dietary plan that to this point has been really bulletproof. But then all of a sudden, from very credible sources, including the American Heart Association, a study of over 20,000 adults finds that those who followed an 8-hour time-restricted eating schedule, i.e., this is, you know, intermittent fasting, have a 91% higher risk of death from cardiovascular disease. Now, when you hear those numbers, you think, my God, and there's more to that that we'll talk about in this study, but I immediately started scouring the internet, got deep into this rabbit hole, and I know what I don't know, and that's important in this world, to know when you have reached your limit, hit that ceiling, and you need to go to an expert. I have found an expert. Joining me now on the most dramatic podcast ever is Dr. Jason Fung. Why is he an expert? Well, not only is he a doctor, but he literally wrote a book, The Complete Guide to Fasting. So if there is anybody in this world, Dr. Jason Fung, I think you are more than qualified to get into what we just read about intermittent fasting. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
And by the way, I should also say, New York Times bestseller, he has written many books. So go check out Dr. Fung. But one of those books is about fasting. Obviously, you are well-read. you are up on this, the latest news that came out from the American Heart Association. What was your initial take? What do you make of this?
Well, the thing is that this study is basically garbage. It's not really a study. So first of all, it's an abstract that was presented at a meeting, which usually has to go through peer review to get over it. But the main problem with the way that it is presented, it's not that the study is garbage. It's that the interpretation has been sort of very well overplayed. So in science, we have to, very carefully distinguish between when two things are correlated and when one thing causes the other, because, two things can be correlated, but they don't cause one another. For example, if you look at people with gray hair versus people without gray hair, the risk of dying is probably like 10 times. Why? Because the people with gray hair are older. So You can't compare the two groups because they're very unequal. However, there's a very strong correlation between the grayness of your hair and how much your risk of dying is, or the wrinkles on your face and how, your risk of dying. But obviously, it doesn't mean that you should dye your hair black and that'll reduce your risk. And it doesn't mean that you should get, Botox and that'll reduce your risk. It's completely irrelevant. So those two things are correlated because they're caused by a third external factor. That is, the age is the confounder here. So if you're older, you have gray hair. If you're older, your risk of dying is higher. But one doesn't cause the other. So that's very, very important to keep in mind. So the point of this study was that they correlated two groups. One group that was, sort of fasting. They weren't fasting. They were not eating over a period of time compared to those that did. And they said, well, one group has a higher risk, but that doesn't mean that one caused the other. And what happens is that people took that to mean one caused the other. And that's where it gets very dangerous, because it's in medicine, there's something called the healthy user bias, which means that if you look at two groups of people that are unequal, then of course you're going to find a risk that may go up. For example, we did this when we looked at hormone replacement therapy. So if you look at women who took hormone replacement therapy, this is 20 years ago when we put virtually every postmenopausal woman on hormone replacement therapy. My mom was on it, all her friends were on it, everybody was on it. And they did this because there's a strong correlation between the women who took hormone replacement therapy and the risk of heart disease was about 50% lower. So people took this and said, well, that proves that taking it reduces your heart risk, which is the same as saying dyeing your hair black reduces your risk of dying. It doesn't. It turns out that the group that took hormone replacement therapy was much healthier in many other ways. They looked after themselves, they saw their doctor, they got their blood work. So when they actually did the study, they found that in fact, taking hormone replacement doesn't reduce your risk at all. Zero. It had zero benefit. So we literally put millions of women on based on this flawed understanding. And by the way, this understanding that correlation is not causation, that is that two things are correlated, does not mean that one causes the other. That's sort of very basic sort of first year, statistics sort of thing.
Right.
Everybody should know this. But we spent, hundreds of millions of dollars to put millions of women on needless drugs. We did the same thing with multivitamins, for example. So people said, well, if you take a multivitamin, it's correlated with a risk of dying that is lower. But when they actually gave people multivitamins, it didn't lower the risk of dying. Same thing. Healthy people who took multivitamins were healthier in many other ways. So you have to look at this idea that, okay, eating, not eating for 16 hours a day, were those people different than the people who were eating, six times a day, that kind of thing? And what you have to understand is that the database that they used from 2003 to 2018, at that point, nobody was doing intermittent fasting. So if you look at Google Trends, for example, and I wrote about this, if you look at Google Trends, there was zero interest. In 2004, 2010, 2015, nobody was interested in fasting for either health reasons or weight loss. It was considered the stupidest thing you could do. I know, because I was writing all about it and I got all kinds of flack. It wasn't until I published my book, The Obesity Code, and then The Complete Guide to Fasting, that it started to go up, because I pointed out that, hey, there's nothing wrong with intermittent fasting. But if you think about the group that was not eating during the period for 90% of their database, those people were different because those people were probably people who had, you know, drug problems, they might have alcoholism, they might be smokers, they might not be eating because they had other illnesses such as cancer. So any of those things could have caused this seeming correlation, but it doesn't mean that one caused the other. So the entire premise of the study was flawed because they were saying, well, people were fasting back in 2003 for weight loss, but nobody was. The interest in fasting was you know, abysmal. When I started writing about it in 2013, 2014, I mean, people thought it was the craziest thing they'd ever heard of. Like, you have to eat. Everybody knew you had to eat.
Well, at the time, the fad was the opposite of that. You should have like 8 small meals a day, you know, or 10 small meals a day, whatever it was.
Exactly.
So, I mean, when intermittent fasting came on, because I've always been so into all these trends and things, it really was revolutionary because it was so 180 degrees from where we were.
Exactly. And that's the point, that the group they're looking at was a group that wasn't fasting for any reason other than there was other reasons they weren't eating. And those other reasons were likely the what caused it. But now they're applying sort of what we think in 2024 to the people in 2005. They're saying, oh, people were doing it for diet. Like, no, nobody was doing it for health or any other reason. So the entire premise, that is, these are sort of basic sort of errors in interpretation. The study is the study. The correlation is the correlation. But the way you interpret it, that one causes the other, is so erroneous, like such a basic. Like if anybody said that to me above high school, I'd say, you're an idiot.
Right. It's well, and it was interesting that I started reading deeper. And, you know, they didn't take into account, for example, when you were in that window, say you had an 8-hour window of eating, what these people were eating in that 8 hours. How you break your fast is very important. What you're eating when you break your fast. And in that, so they didn't take into account, you know, so I could have broken my fast and eaten croissants for 8 hours. You could have been on a high protein diet. Well, yeah, you're probably going to be healthier than me. And they didn't take into account, they were saying, like, you know, cancer and diabetics had a higher risk. Well, no kidding. Like you said, of course they did.
Well, the other thing was that the size of the effect is ridiculous. It's like laughable, right? So let's put into real context what they're saying. So an 8-hour eating window. So say you eat breakfast at 9 a.m. and you eat dinner at 5 p.m. Okay. That's what they're considering so dangerous for you that you're going to raise your risk of heart disease.
91%.
That is more powerful than any other risk factor we know about short of smoking. So it's worse than diabetes. It's worse than not exercising. It's worse than being overweight. It's worse than, you know, living next to, you know, power lines. It's worse than taking all kinds of carcinogens. So this thing where you eat at 9 a.m. and eat at 5 till 5 p.m., which is not that bad, is this horrible, horrible risk factor that somehow, you know, evaded us. And you have to realize that fasting is not a new idea. Okay. People have been fasting for thousands of years, right? So if there was a problem with fasting, we probably should have known about it. And the other thing is that in the same study, they showed that if you fast for 8 to 10 hours, that is, say you eat breakfast at 9 a.m. and dinner at 7 p.m., your risk of heart disease went up by 66%. That's ridiculous. Like, that's called every single person in the 1970s ate, like, they didn't eat snacks after dinner, so they might eat at 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. That's just a normal day. Literally millions of people did that. The thing is that it's clickbaity, right? So of course it got in the newspaper and so on. And what bothers me is that then these sort of elementary mistakes where people are interpreting a study, you know, basically they're saying the equivalent of get Botox, you know, it'll save your life, right? It's like, no, it won't. Just getting rid of your wrinkles doesn't do anything for you, or dye your hair, it'll save your life. It won't. So they're making this sort of elementary mistake, but they're scaring people. It's fear-mongering, it's scaremongering. from people away who from something that could potentially help them. I'm not saying it's the right answer for everybody, but clearly some people have benefited tremendously from doing intermittent fasting, and those people might get scared away and therefore actually be harmed from this sort of awful sort of interpretation mistake, sort of basic elementary mistake of correlation and causation.
It took me a while to figure out my mom is more than just a mom. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood. Mary Beth, she is a force to be reckoned with. Successful career, many talents, a great friend group. I could go on and on about my mom. I love her dearly. Well, this Mother's Day, give mom her flowers. She deserves the best. That's why I'm sending Farm Fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets. And I got you 25% off your entire Bouqs purchase, so you can send some too. Here's why I like Bouqs. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. Bouqs has also made it easy. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done. Mother's Day is May 12th, right around the corner. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now. And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, the wife, aunt, hey, even your grandma. Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code Chris for 25% off. That's Bouqs.com, promo code Chris. Bouqs.com and use promo code Chris. You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. Don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman. Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu. Simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected anywhere and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Navigate easily by powering apps like real-time GPS and voice assistant. Keep everyone entertained with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity roadblock your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required. You bring up something, you know, very smart. Before you start any major diet, any major change, talk to your physician. Make sure you talk to the experts, the people that you deal with for your health and your well-being. But so we debunk this thing as BS, and I agree. The more I dove into it, I found it laughable, and I'm not a doctor at all. But I did play one on TV. No, I didn't. So now that we know this is BS, we believe intermittent fasting is a good thing. What do you see are the major benefits of fasting?
Well, I think that there's a lot, and especially in this day and age where we're really a lot of people suffering from being overweight and type 2 diabetes. So type 2 diabetes is, of course, a huge risk factor for all kinds of heart disease and cancer. Nobody debates that. But the thing is that if you do intermittent fasting, some people will be helped, because obviously if you don't eat, your body will burn off some of that glucose. And if it burns off the glucose, then your blood glucose goes down, you don't need the medications, or you can even completely reverse your type 2 diabetes. So the idea is very simple. Intermittent fasting is not hard to understand. Your body can store food energy, which is calories, right? So when you eat, you're going to store calories. That's what you do. It's a good thing you can, otherwise you'd die in your sleep every single night. right? We're not like moles who have to eat like every 1 hour or they die sort of thing. We can store energy. So your body stores energy and it stores it in the form of sugar, which is glucose, and fat, body fat, right? That's what it's there for. When you don't eat, that is fasting, that's the time that your body now says, oh, I'm going to take this, those calories that I stored and pull them out of storage because that's the logical thing to do.
Right.
That's all it is. That's all fasting is. You store energy like body fat for a reason. It's not there for looks. It's there for you as a source of energy when you don't eat. If you never fast, if you never don't eat, how do you expect to burn that body fat or that blood glucose? You can't. It's actually impossible. Because if you're eating, you're telling your body to store energy. It's only when you don't eat that you start to use the energy. In other words, if you're eating all the time, which is the big fad, you know, in this 80s, 90s, 2000s, right. Well, you're not giving your body a chance to burn it. So of course you're going to gain weight, right? There's no other way. So if you want to lose weight, all you have to do is extend the period, give your body a break from the eating, and let your body burn off what you store. And it's a completely natural. There's nothing wrong with it. Our bodies have adapted. That is, if you think back to cavemen, cavewomen, it's winter, there's nothing to eat. Well, wouldn't we have all died by now if fasting was really this bad for you, right? Our bodies, like, why do we think our bodies are so incredibly stupid that we have to, like, figure out, like, look at the watch, right? As a caveman, right. You don't have a watch, but you're going to figure out that you need to start stuffing a muffin, which you don't have. Of course, you have to go hunt, you know, a beaver or something to get food, because otherwise, if you don't eat, you're going to die. That's like, no, your body has stored it away. That's the entire point. It's part of a natural cycle of feeding and fasting. That's all it is. That's why we have the word break fast. It's the meal that breaks your fast, but you can't break right. it if you're not fasting. So the whole point is that fasting is not a fad. Like everybody says, it's this big fad. It's like, it's been around for thousands of years. It's mentioned in every major religious text. So we know that people have been doing it for 2,000-3,000 years.
Yeah.
Like, do you, and in that time where people have talked about fasting, it's always in a healthy connotation. That is, they talk about it as a detox or a cleansing or a purification or something like that. So the whole thing is that everybody thought fasting was really good for you and then until the 80s, and then they thought it was really bad for you. But, you know, it's really just part of this natural cycle. Feeding all the time is bad. Fasting all the time is bad. Right. It's a balance.
Well, Dr. Fung, thank you. I think we have officially debunked this clickbait headline, which is important. And I truly appreciate your wisdom, your knowledge, The Complete Guide to Fasting. Just one of your books, by the way, The Obesity Code, The Diabetes Code. And then there are the cookbooks for those books. I was reading up. And by the way, I also learned a new term today. Maybe I'm a complete idiot, which is probably true. You're a nephrologist, which is a specializing in kidneys and the renal glands. So there you go. I also learned something today about nephrology.
Perfect.
But doctor, thank you so much for your knowledge. Truly appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
My thanks to Dr. Fung and for all of you for tuning in. We will do it again next time because we have a lot more to talk about. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at @themostdramaticpod ever. And make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. I'll talk to you next time. You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting 2 young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.